Welcome to Uncommon Purpose with your hosts, Mandy Cooley
and Stephanie Porter.
We believe our uncommon purpose is found at the intersection of our heads and our hearts.
In each episode, we'll share stories, resources, and expertise that will help us build meaningful connections and reflect the love of Christ.
Join us as we have an authentic conversation about the journey of living for the Lord while cultivating our uncommon purpose. All right, podcast friends, we are going to talk today about showing up for ourselves. Our topic is really intended to be kind of an overview of what does it mean to show up for ourselves and how do we do it? As you know, one of the things that we mentioned on the podcast is that we're committed not just to kind of talking through a topic, but also helping you get to a place where you can do something about what we've talked about. So over the course of our conversation today, we hope to inspire you if you are not already showing up for yourself in healthy ways. And if you are, help to kind of propel you into the next level of what that might be. Stephanie, what does showing up for yourself look like?
You know, I think there's so many ways to show up for yourself. And I just want to give us a shout out right now, because I feel like we are showing up for ourselves right now.
We are.
And I think this is a great example of doing that. And the reason why I think that is because we've been dreaming about this podcast for years, individually and then together, and we're making it happen.
Yeah.
And so when you make something happen that you've desired, dreamed, planned, put on a vision board, that is showing up for yourself.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned this podcast, because as we sit, for those of you who don't know us personally, Stephanie and I live in different states and different time zones. And for us to record this means that we have to schedule Zoom calls. We have to sit down. We have to plan and prep. And we've had a number of reschedules.
Yes.
Probably a fair way to put that. A lot of times, because we both work full time and we're tired and we have families and we just have other responsibilities that make it kind of tough. So in this case, showing up for ourselves is not even just about the product, but it's really about the process of carving out time. And even when we're maybe a little tired, or when there's a book we'd rather read, or
a bubble bath.
Oh, a bubble bath.
Oh, Calgon, take me away.
A foot soak, because my bubble bath is too big. My big bathtub is too large for filling. So I love that you brought that up, because this is for sure a space where even the process of getting here has been a commitment to follow through with something that feels really important to both of us.
Yeah. I think showing up for ourselves is knowing what we need. Like when you said we have had to do a couple of reschedules, it's because we individually had to say, you know what? I need a night with nothing on the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
I need a night where I don't have to be on or put my best foot forward. And I just, there's nothing left to give. And so I need to recharge. And that is showing up for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, knowing what you need and meeting your needs. So invaluable, so important.
When you talk about needs, tell me what, like I can think about a couple of situations where I've said to you, I need rest.
Yeah.
You know, that's an easy kind of low hanging fruit when it comes to needs. But what are some of the other needs that you find show up in a way that require sort of demand your attention that you have to commit to showing up for yourself?
So first thing is use this acronym called HALTS: hungry, angry, lonely, tired, stressed, or bored. So
HALTS.
Yes. That's exactly what it is.
Okay.
And if you, and when you start to get kind of cranky pants, right? These are the easiest ways. Like, what do I need right now? Do I need to eat? You know, and am I hungry, hangry? You know, mm-hmm. am I angry because I'm hurt? You know, am I lonely? Okay, do I need a friend? Do I need to connect with someone? Do I need attachment? Do I need to, you know, just touch base with my people? Am I tired? Okay, do I need rest? Do I need the kind of rest where I relax, where I Sabbath, where I sleep, where I, you know, zone out? Like, what kind of rest? And then stress, like, where am I in my stress levels? So do I need to exercise? Do I need to get in the infrared sauna? Do I need to take take one of my bubble baths? Do, you know, what do I need to release my stress? Do I need a journal? You know, what, there's all kinds of ways. And then bored, maybe I need to do an activity because I'm just like, there's nothing happening and I need something going on. Right. And not in the sense of being busy, but in the sense of my mind isn't working. It's idle. It needs to go in the right space, not in the negative space. And so that HALTSPA, that little acronym helps really identify very quickly your basic needs.
I feel like, man, everything that you just said, we could do a whole episode on each one of those.
We sure could.
When I first really started paying attention to my needs, so I identify as an Enneagram 2, as I know you eventually decided that you too identify as an Enneagram 2. Another story for another day.
Yes. We'll have to talk about that because that's fun.
That is a good story. As an Enneagram 2, one of my superpowers is that I recognize the needs of other people around me and I help them to feel loved and cared for as I meet their needs.
Yeah.
But then the other side of that sword means that I don't often recognize my own needs. And so when I first started learning this idea that, well, that I had a need, first of all, and that there were people and systems and processes in place that could help me get my needs met, that it was even okay for me to have my needs met, I stumbled on this verse in 1 Kings. I know you know the story, where Elijah is fleeing for his life. And he has been traveling all day. This is 1 Kings 19, verses 3-7. And I'm paraphrasing, skipping around a little bit, but he sat down under a solitary broom tree and he prayed that he might die.
Die.
I've had enough, Lord. He said, take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. And man, I just totally relate to that. Like, there's moments that I've kind of come to the end of myself and I'm like, I'd rather be dead. And then he laid down and he slept. And an angel came to him as he was sleeping and told him, get up and eat. And there's more to that story. And, one of my favorite authors and writers and speakers is Ruth Haley Barton. And she uses this as a passage, a teaching passage in quite a bit of her leadership and Sabbath work. But I love this idea that God gives us naps and tells us to eat a snack, because the being hungry and being tired are such really real needs that need to be met. And
yes,
finding rhythms of rest and Sabbath and good nutrition. And that kind of goes down a huge long road that I know we'll probably continue to dance around for quite a bit of our time together. But I just love that that's God's plan. That taking naps and eating snacks is really part of the solution, even back in Elijah's days.
Absolutely. I love that. I love that you shared that story, because the best part is that, you know, the angel of the Lord came, right? That he himself came to minister and meet his needs.
Yeah.
And I love that. And I love that he did. He used the basics. He's like, here we go, you know, and that's so good. But I do think if we'll start with the basic needs.
Yeah.
Then we can get into the bigger needs, and the bigger needs might encompass things like, I need a vacation, actually. Like, I actually need to get away and have a break. or I need to turn social media off.
Yeah.
Because that is actually draining me instead of filling me up. And so that becomes a need to take a break from something. Or
I did that. Do you, have we talked about this, that I took, our church did a 21 days of prayer and fasting, and yes. In fairness, I chose to fast social media, which yes. Isn't really fasting. It's really abstaining, but you know,
yep. But it was a good process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a good process. But I am, gosh, I'm 40 days and ooh. I'm not back on. And now it's Lent. As we record this, we are in the middle. We have just begun the Lenten season, and, neither of us are necessarily, practitioners of a more liturgical rhythm through our church homes, but we observe the kind of liturgical calendar rhythms. Yep. And so I can't go back. I can't go back because I realized that what I thought it was doing for me is not what it's doing for me.
Yeah. I thank you for sharing that, because I think that that takes such courage to walk away from mainstream media, even, you know, not a play on words, but right. It's like walking away from the culture of the world. And, you know, 16 years ago, my husband and I were in a really difficult season, and we gave up the TV for a year. And that was a need. It was an absolute need. And I, 16 years later today, still rarely watch TV. Only watch specific things, or I'm very intentional with my TV time.
Okay. Listen, sis, you got to tell it. Like, it's about to be your favorite time of TV season. We're coming up on it.
I love two seasons. Okay. There are two seasons that I love, and it's March Madness. Okay. College basketball.
Yeah.
I love college basketball, and the tournament is one of my favorite seasons. But, you know, then we've got Hallmark. I can't lie. I'm a Christmas Hallmark girl.
I know. And it's not even just Hallmark anymore. Now it's GAC too.
And
it's so good.
And so, you know, honestly, sometimes that's a need.
Yes.
I need to have a moment where I know the plot. I know the beginning, the middle, and the end. I know exactly that when they're going to have their fight, and then they're going to get back together, and all is going to be well. Okay.
1 hour and 47 minutes into the episode, you should expect the conflict.
Yes, you should. Sometimes I watch the first 20 minutes and the last 20 minutes. I don't even
watch all you really need. That's so great.
You know, but I think that's a need. Like, and sometimes showing up for myself is like, hey, I'm going to take a break from something that's harmful, or I'm going to indulge in something that is not going to be harmful. And so I think that we just need to like pay attention to those kinds of things that are in our needs, what's good for us. Cause sometimes we think a want is a need and that they're actually very different. And so that could be a whole episode in itself, to be honest, but learning to discern like, well, I need to go shopping. What? Do I need to go shopping, or do I want to go shopping?
Yeah. It sounds like that's a coping mechanism.
And so I could very easily justify shopping as a need, but you know, the truth of the matter is that, sometimes going with your girlfriend is a need. Get out of the house, have a connection, walk around, buy nothing, try things on, do fun things. That can be a really fun need, but I just think when we're identifying our needs, those are the things that's the basics that we could just start at is, you know, what are the halts, hungry, angry, lonely, tired, stressed, bored.
Yeah.
And, you know, showing up for ourselves is really important, that we start monitoring and caring about our deprivations.
Yeah. So you mentioned that this is showing up for ourselves.
Yeah.
You and I, this is me showing up for you, you showing up for me. both of us showing up for our own selves. What is the deprivation in a podcast? Like, what is this doing for us?
Well, I think showing up for ourselves, and we mentioned this kind of in our intro, is just that we love sitting around the table. Mm-hmm. And when we have a lack of connection and a momentarily, you know, lapse of being able to hear each other's hearts, we begin to crave that.
Yeah.
Right. And I have learned that sitting at the table and sharing my heart and being vulnerable and authentic is actually a need that I have for myself, that I need to be vulnerable with someone else who can hold my good, bad, and ugly, my flaws, and love me too, and be gentle and be like, hey, sis, you're fighting the good fight. You're doing good. And so
that's a brave commitment to make to a podcast.
Yeah.
Because it's not just me and you.
Yeah.
It's me and you and whoever and our 12 friends, right? Like, we decided we'll start like Jesus. We'll get 12 and let it multiply from there.
Totally.
But I hear you saying that part of this for you is about showing up to do the work.
Yeah.
To do the work in community.
I am big about doing the work. And I think we do the work in lots of ways. We do it individually. We do it in community. We do it with therapy. We do it in prayer. We do it when we read the word. There's a lot of ways that in all of those ways really are showing up for yourself. They are taking an honest look at what you are thinking, feeling, and needing, and then meeting those needs and realizing how valuable you are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in our podcast, I hope that we can create space where others feel comfortable being vulnerable and authentic, sharing their heart and their community, but also realizing, like, hey, this one's challenging, how you show up for yourself. Mm-hmm. How do you go? What are you thinking?
Well, so you say that all the ways that we do the work and you list them out. And I think, and it just made me think, that's a phrase I use a lot. Yeah. Like, people in my life hear me often say, you got to do the work.
Yeah.
You got to do the work. And, you know, part of that for me is that there's really no shortcut to the thing that really matters, you know, to the thing that I really want. Like, you have to actually put in the effort and do the lifting. But as you were talking about kind of piecing out what makes for the work or where we do it, the verse that popped into my head is from Psalm 139, which is that the Lord, you know, it's David's prayer that the Lord would search his heart and reveal to him his wicked ways, to try his spirit. You know, God knows us.
Yeah.
It's, do we know ourselves?
Yeah.
And that's the work. The work is to know ourselves and then do something with it.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. How does knowing yourself help you show up for yourself?
I'm just a huge fan of just the basic concepts of emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
And one of which is self-awareness. I really, all of my life is not about the Enneagram, but this is just another one of those connection points. But as an Enneagram too, I enjoy being in community. I enjoy being in relationship. I enjoy being liked and needed. And when I lack self-awareness, I can't be in healthy, safe relationships.
Yeah.
When I demonstrate self-awareness, I know how I'm showing up for the people that know me and love me. And so part of showing up for myself to find deep connection and relationship is knowing how I'm presenting to others.
Yeah.
And so that searching my heart is about knowing what I'm bringing in. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's kind of a naive belief at times, but I just don't think that most people wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to go show up and be a jerk. Yeah. I'm going to go and betray my friend.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a promise I'm not intending to follow through on.
Right.
I think people choose that.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. But I think it happens when we're not aware of other motivations and other drivers and other coping mechanisms that drive us to do things that result in jerky behavior, betrayal of those we care about, you know, mistreating people in relationship, whether it's at work or, you know, if there's young people that are listening to this, you know, in school or in, you know, school contexts or extracurriculars or church or home. And so just the awareness of what we're carrying into a situation allows me to show up best, to show up as my best self.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely. That's really good. I think, when we have self-awareness, that really touches on our worthiness.
Mm.
Because when we feel unlovable or unworthy, we kind of close off to ourselves. And then we don't want to have self-awareness because the only thing we see is our unworthiness.
Mm.
And it's really hard to show up for yourself when you don't like yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think we all go through seasons like that where we feel unworthy or unlovable or I'm the worst person. And if I can't show up for myself, how is someone else going to show up for me?
Right.
So we have to go back to our belief system of what we're telling ourselves and what we believe about ourselves, but more than that, what God says and what God believes about us.
Yeah. What does God say? Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I heard somebody today on a podcast I was listening to talk about the difference between self-worth and self-concept. I don't know much about this gal at all. Her name is Jamie Kern Lima. Mm. She, was on the Carrie Newhoff podcast. And she just published a book called Worthy. Which she did a great job on her podcast because I ordered the book by the time I got off. So by the time they were done, but she talked about the difference between self-worth and self-confidence in that it's self-worth is the foundation on which the home of our self-confidence is built.
Mm.
So there are days where we're rebuilding the home we live in, right? Like we're repainting or remodeling or redecorating. But if we don't have a solid self-worth, then foundationally the house will crumble.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So it's not an authentic presentation of self.
Mm-hmm.
It's just it's a veneer.
Mm.
I thought that was a good comparison. I hadn't heard that the distinction between the two made quite like that in a way that just really resonated with me.
Yeah. I think that absolutely, because self-worth is our foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I love that. I think that that's really, really powerful. And mm-hmm. how do you show up for yourself if you don't have that foundation? Because who are you showing up for then? And is it, you know, what is the effort going to be worth it? Well, absolutely. And are your dreams mm-hmm. worth it? And are your ideas special? And absolutely. Right. Mm-hmm. And there's a difference between self-love, like as in the narcissistic sense, but in self-compassion. Having self-compassion lets you mm-hmm. identify with who you are and be gentle with yourself when you'd miss the mark, and then celebrate yourself when you hit the mark.
Mm, yeah.
And then when you're doing those things, showing up for yourself is just like the fruit. It just comes, right? We planted the seed and then now here comes the fruit. And it's like, yeah, let's go. I can do it. But sometimes, you know, if we stick with that analogy for a minute of planting a seed and tilling the garden and working the soil, we got to pull the weeds, and the weeds are the beliefs, the false beliefs that crumble in and steal and choke out what we're trying to build. So,
yeah.
So I think, one of the best ways to show up for yourself is to make a list of self-care things, things that are special for you, you know?
Oh, so let's talk about self-care for a minute. What is self-care?
Okay. What is self-care to you personally? What does that look like? What does it sound like? What does it feel like for you?
Well, I think self-care is more complex than we think. And so the way I want to describe it is that it's actually meeting your needs emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, sometimes sexually, sometimes financially. But it's really holistic. Self-care is a holistic way of caring for yourself and, identifying with an activity, or even a spiritual discipline that where you're feeding your soul and you're restoring yourself.
What is your favorite self-care activity? Your personal favorite self-care activity?
My personal favorite is a 20-minute hot Epsom salt bath. That is my favorite. And when I'm anxious or tense or stressed, or I need to clear my head, that is the best thing to do, is to get in.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's the easiest thing for me to do at home, right? Like I can get away. I know I can do it at nighttime after everyone is settled down. You know, every time we go to Costco, we have a rule in our family. Every time you go to Costco, even if we don't need it, you buy a box of Epsom salt.
Are not, ladies and gentlemen, sponsored by Costco or any Epsom salt producers.
That is true. But that's what we do.
Hilarious.
So sometimes we've had up to 4 boxes, which is 8 awesome. Bags. But truthfully, those 8 bags are now down to like 1.5 bags.
Yeah.
Because we use it a lot, you know.
And you haven't been to Costco in a while.
I haven't been to Costco in a while. So, but that is, what's your favorite? Fun. What's your favorite self-care?
Well, I loved that you added the parameters of what's at home.
Yeah.
Because I love that that is something that's just easy. Easily accessible. If you choose the discipline of doing it, that it's accessible anytime. I mean, it sounds really hokey, but breathing is probably my favorite self-care.
I think it's hokey.
In 2018, I started about a year of consistent yoga practice, which was a whole thing we can talk about someday if you want, but it took me a while to relax into a yoga practice. I had to get comfortable with it not being new age and, you know, terrible for my spirit. But God was good to give me and, to provide an instructor at the studio where I was practicing who, played Lauren Daigle. And I was like, Oh, she loves Jesus. So then it felt safe for me to practice with her. But I learned deep yoga breathing, like deep, deep, deep yoga breathing. And that is portable. It's the most portable self-care that I have access to. And I think that's probably the thing that in a moment of stress or anxiety, that is probably now at this point, it's almost a habitual. I sometimes don't even realize that I'm starting to reach for that kind of breath, which is so good.
Yeah, that's just awesome.
So good. My out of my house favorite self-care, most of the time is going to see our favorite, most beloved chiropractor.
Because he's going to get a shout out on the first one.
But man, it's not even just him, right? Like it's the office, it's the environment they've created.
It is.
It's the smells of the office. It's the hospitality of the staff. It's the quiet,
the loud quiet. I don't know. That's a strange thing, but it's a, it's a loud space with,
stillness,
good worship music. Yes. But some beautiful stillness that, the adjustment is a big part of it, but it's, it really, in fairness, is a part of it. It's not the, full, the full self-care, but that probably is my most disciplined self-care.
Yeah, that, and I can't disagree. That is my, I mean, I fly back to go to that self-care. I know. And because that rhythm, that space was so sacred, because I really think that for us, that, weekly and sometimes multiple times in a week adjustment, it has a lot of things that it encompasses. It encompasses, it encompasses our senses. It encompasses our spirit, right? It touches our connection with people. Yeah. And there's just so much, so much beauty in that. And so because that became so beautiful in a rhythm, I had to find that when I moved. I was like, the first thing I was looking for was a chiropractor and that same kind of a space.
Yeah.
So I don't disagree that honestly, to this day, that is my favorite. That is my favorite away from self, you know, away from home self-care.
Yeah.
I also love going to the infrared sauna. And
tell me about where you find that.
So, there's a couple of ways that I have found it. I would love to get one and put one in my house, but they're a little pricey. And so that's, you know, for another season right now, I'm fixing to put two kids in college.
You know? So
that's okay. I'm good. But Hotworks, and again, not sponsored by Hotworks, but that's where I started. Was they had infrared saunas and they had a workout, and it was great. It helped me. It introduced me. I was able to stretch and breathe and exercise. But now there's actually a new chain called Perspire, and it is a It's not a Hotworks. It's a infrared studio, basically, and they have 10 infrared saunas, and you come in and you pay like a little membership, and you know, you reserve your little sauna.
This is like a generation of women who grew up going to the tanning beds have now transitioned our tanning bed memberships to infrared sauna memberships. They just changed out the beds.
Yeah, exactly. They're, you know, we're not getting a tan. We're getting cellular work, right? Yes. From the inside out instead of the outside in. But I will tell you something. You're going to think this is crazy. There's so many men that go.
Are there?
So it's really fun. There's a lot of health benefits to an infrared sauna.
Okay, listen, those men were probably in the tanning bed too.
I don't think you're wrong.
My husband went to the tanning bed before we got married in Mexico, and he went to the tanning bed before we went to get married. And I still laugh about that to this day, thinking about big old husband in little old tanning bed.
That's so awesome. He's like, I need to get a base before I take my photos. And did you go to the beach for your honeymoon? Is that what we did?
We did. We got married on the beach. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's fun. Okay. So infrared sauna, cellular level regeneration, inside out.
Inside out. So good for you. Here's the other thing. Like, what do you think are good spiritual disciplines that are self-care?
Are you setting me up for my very favorite? This, in fairness, this is probably equal of importance to me as my chiropractic visits. I have a weekly Sabbath practice. And as a non-Jewish practitioner of Sabbath, I follow a Saturday sundown to Sunday sundown rhythm. So that encompasses my weekend worship time. While I work at a church, I don't have weekend responsibilities at a church. So I attend with my family a worship service on the weekends. And so Sabbath is probably one of my best self-care practices. And it's something I've been practicing for, I say I'm practicing because I just don't feel like I'm ever maybe going to master Sabbath.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's masterable, but right. I feel far from it. I'm learning. I feel like I continue to learn better ways to embrace the Sabbath, but I get to worship. I get to rest. I get to spend time with people I love. I get to eat yummy foods.
Yeah.
And I get to spend time with the Lord. So Sabbath is probably one of my best, and I fight for it. So
you protect it really well.
I try. Mm-hmm. I try. Yeah. I'm going to lose my Sabbath this weekend because I'm traveling to the IF gathering in Fort Worth, and we fly home on Sunday. So I will sadly not have a Sabbath this weekend. And I've been contemplating for the last week or so how I'm going to find a mini Sabbath.
Nice.
In the midst of that. I don't know what that will look like. I'm still trying to lay that out.
That's great.
What about you? What is a spiritual self-care practice for you?
My just really go-to is worship.
Mm.
And something that I've been doing in the mornings is actually, this is going to sound so weird. I've been praying at night, Lord, wake me up before my alarm. So I'm trying not to wake up with an alarm. And it is so amazing when you tell yourself like, okay, I need to be up at 7 the night before. And then you're up at 6:55. You're like, okay, this is so amazing. Uh-huh. So I've been doing this, and I know it sounds really, you know, that sounds kind of hokey, but I've been practicing this, like trying to wake up and then listening to worship music, just being still and starting my morning in His praise.
Do you do like a, hey, Amazon device that's always listening to me, play worship music? You know, or how do you make that happen on a practical level? What does that look like? Do you pick up your phone and choose it? Do you have it set to play somewhere?
I don't. I love Spotify, and I have I call it a fasting playlist. And it's like my favorite worship songs and right now, Bless God. That song, Brooke, I never say her last name right. I'm sorry, Brooke. Brooke L. Litterwood or Litter something.
Litterwood. I always have to say it really slowly because I feel like the way I look at it, I want to say a different word than what it actually is. We're sorry, Brooke. We love your music.
Yeah, Brooke. And I love your accent. So, you know, but she
keeps singing sis.
Goodness. I mean, every song she's written, it's so interesting. Yeah. They do something to my soul, like oceans. And, when my knees hit the ground and, Bless God and Honey in the Rock. I mean, those songs captivate me. And so anyways, but I try to start with slow songs and I just lay there and I find my days are going so much better because I am starting in a space where I'm not rushing. An alarm didn't wake me up. I'm speaking, I'm praising God. My spirit has been slowed down, and I just really feel like that's showing up for myself.
Yeah. I hear you recognizing what feeds your soul.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
And what it's not just showing up for yourself. It's also showing up in community with the Lord.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And, you know, I think there's one more thing that we have to talk about when we're going to say showing up for ourselves. You started to mention like how we show up for ourselves with doing the work. Boundaries is a way that we show up for ourselves, setting boundaries, knowing our self boundaries first, like where I end and someone else begins, what I'm going to do, what I'm not going to do, saying yes, saying no. Those are all ways we show up for ourselves.
I will confess to just never feeling like I ever have a solid grip on boundaries. I teach it.
Yes.
And I practice it. But man, sometimes setting boundaries feels sassy to me.
Yes, 100%. And I think that's because our internal judge is so critical, you know, and especially you and I both being twos on the Enneagram, there's obstacles that come with setting boundaries.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fear of rejection or... Yeah. Going to our eight in an unhealthy way, you know, and in a stress and under stress. Yep. And so, right. We're kind and we're caring and we're loving and forgiving. And then all of a sudden we're like, wait a minute. And we switch the pendulum.
Yep.
And we're like, I didn't like that.
Bless the people around us who are like getting whiplash from the shift
right?
from one to the next. Yeah. Boundary work is good. I'm glad you bring that up. I think it's, you know, Dr. Henry Cloud uses the analogy of a fence for a boundary, you know, the keeping your garbage in your own fence, not throwing your garbage in someone else's fence.
Yeah.
And I always appreciate that word picture. There's just, I do so well with, making connections. I'm grateful that Jesus taught in parables because I can wrap ideas around, images in my mind, but, I feel like I will probably go to my grave working on boundaries.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll ever master that either.
No, I think it's
hard.
I resonate with you. It is hard.
Yeah.
And I think boundaries are God's really funny gift of sanctification. You know, I think he's just constantly processing and growing and, and sometimes we nail it and sometimes we don't, but
I think that's so dead on. I mean, if I really pull that apart, if we take that, just that statement that boundaries are a process of sanctification, the work that it is for me to set a boundary, for example, with my kid. Right. Like this is an easy example. My oldest is a freshman in college and, has a need and it might not be mine to solve. And yeah, I want to do that. I want to fix it. I don't want to cross that boundary.
Yeah.
At the same time, he will sometimes, you know, may sometimes ask something of me that, is a boundary cross. You know, he's moved on. He's in a different season of life. And so our time rhythms work differently. And so, interacting with him in a way where I no longer am meeting all of his needs. And then I start to feel kind of yucky, I should be doing this for him. I should. And, that sanctifying experience is when I stop and think about what does God say? Uh-huh. What is true?
Right.
What is true about me? What is true about him? Do I trust that if, because here's where I get stuck, if I'm being totally honest about boundaries, is that I get caught in a practice of believing that I have to do it.
Yes. Good.
And so if I don't do it, do I trust that the Lord will take care of it?
Come on.
And that's sanctifying for me.
Yeah.
To get to a place where I say, and sometimes the answer is no.
Yeah.
Sometimes my honest answer is, I don't know if I trust that God will take care of that.
Yeah, that's so good.
Now, in reality, I spend a lot of time then apologizing to the Lord for not trusting him, you know, trying to like get my heart to catch up to my head.
Yes.
But man, boundaries for me are really about trust and rescuing and where I place myself in the order of importance in my life and my family's life and my friends' lives. And it is so sanctifying to have to say no with all of that junk running around behind my head.
That, okay. So just curious, like, so how do you feel that you've shared? You're like, this is what's going on inside of me. Like, does that feel like you just showed up for yourself?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, I think it does. My pause is that I'm thinking through, am I showing up for myself or am I showing up for you? Am I showing up for myself or am I showing up for the listeners? But I think you and I both agreed that this is part of our call.
Yeah.
This is part of what we feel invited into, and to live that out, to show up for myself, to be the best version of me here in this space shared with you in this time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that is me showing up for myself.
Yeah, I do too. And yeah. And I think when we admit and when we confess and when we say, hey, this is what I'm working on, that's me showing up for myself saying, I want to grow. I'm going to continue to grow. I'm not perfect. It doesn't mean I'm unworthy. It doesn't mean I'm not a great person. It means, hey, I'm broken. I'm in need of a savior, and I'm all in. Let's go, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Search me. Yeah.
Search me
and find.
Mm-hmm. And know me.
Yeah. Search me, oh God, and know my heart. Right. Try me and know my thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
Me too. Well, that was really fun, Mandy, to talk about showing up for ourselves.
Hey, do you want to do it again? Do you want to do another episode?
Hey, I do.
We can have another episode.
I think we should.
We'll keep doing it as long as it's fun.
I think so. Cause that was super fun. So yeah,
that's good.
Where we want to wrap up in our podcast today is to look at our two questions.
Yeah. Yeah. So my question to you is, what do you need? And that's such a good question on an episode where we're talking about needs.
I know, showing up for myself.
Yeah. What do you need today, friend?
You know, I am really, a couple of weeks ago, I sat down and wrote a self-care plan, and I'm proud of myself for following through with that.
Good.
So that feels good. I need to continue that. But I also needed to hear just our discussion today that it's okay. When I hit a bump in the road and I hit the sanctification process, you know, I think that's good. That's wise.
Yeah.
And I'm always going to be going through sanctification. There's not until we go to heaven.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. So, you have a self-care plan, a 30 day. Did you say a 30 day?
I did not say a 30 day, but
what did I hear?
Basically, I just wrote out one that a daily one.
Sorry.
Yeah. And just 30 minutes a day, basically. But sometimes they don't take 30 minutes, but it's all encompassing, holistic. It's from medical to physical activity to food and to spiritual and to relationships.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. So
that includes, you know, anything from reading a book to journaling, to walking, to worship music, to, hot baths, infrared sauna, chiropractic care, all the things.
That's so good. That's so good. Yeah. So our other question is, where do you see the Lord in all of this?
Where do I see the Lord in all of this? I just think when we stopped for a minute and we talked about our worthiness, you know, our worthiness doesn't come from self. When we talk about self-love, self-worth, self-care, self-compassion, really it's God esteem. Mm-hmm. And that was a good reminder today was our worth is our foundation.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay. Well, till next time, friend.
Yeah.
I'm excited to hear how I'm going to ask you how your update. I'm going to ask you for an update in a few episodes on how your self-care plan is working out.
Okay. That sounds good.
Okay. All right. We'll talk to you soon.
We've loved having this conversation with you, and we're excited for the next one. Make sure to subscribe to Uncommon Purpose wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. Also, connect with us on social media. We'd love to hear your thoughts, stories, and experiences. Your journey is a part of this larger tapestry we're weaving together. Until next time.